The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Someone once observed how society was shifting its focus, as reflected in the names of popular magazines. First, it was Life magazine, then People, then Us, and finally, Self. This episode is a rambling discussion and sometimes ranting about various aspects of connection. Our connection with groups, with each other, with ourselves.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks
Settle
for joining
down,
us.
Get yourself a nice beverage, hot, cold, alcoholic, or non.
So today we are going to be talking about connection, craving connection. And Toast and I hope to get a little bit of this tomorrow if we end up doing what...
Come on, we got to do it.
Well, I think we're going to do it.
Okay,
anyways,
good.
So what we're planning to do that I'm actually really excited about is we are going to the Multnomah County Fair.
Come on down to the County Fair.
I can't even think of the last time I've been to a county fair. It may have actually been when back in the day when you and I were performing and we performed
Maybe,
at
huh?
the LA County Fair.
Yeah.
We did that 2 years in a row.
Maybe.
Blazing hot sun. Performing every couple hours. Yeah. I mean, it was super fun.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for those memories. But I think that's the last time where you have rides, where there's a petting zoo area. And there's everything fried.
Yes. Remember those machines where you put a coin in the slot and then you sit down and then it vibrates on your feet?
Yes.
The foot vibrator
those are
machines.
Those were fantastic.
Hilarious. After you've been on your feet all
yeah.
day.
It actually works. Yeah. Those work. Yeah. But I'm excited to go, especially because what makes this county fair different mm-hmm. is it's on these amusement park grounds mm-hmm. that is right next door to a skating rink.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so part of the county fair here is going roller skating. And then I thought to myself, I thought several things. First thing is, when was the last time I roller skated? I think probably when I was 12.
1980 something.
What about you?
Probably the same. I mean, back when the pre-rollerblading days.
I did rollerblade. Like, I have rollerbladed because it was a gift from a friend, and he just was forcing me, like, you have to rollerblade. And
so it
was
scary. A gift for you, but it was actually for him.
It was for his entertainment to
yeah.
see, like, you know, if I could do it. But anyways, so that was one thought. The second thought was... Okay, well, let me see how much this is. It's like $10 to
go roller skating?
To get a basic pair rink. Of skates and to have the floor and roller skate. But then the skates creeped me out. Like the things that come on you like later, like adult onset fears of like germs and, you know... I think about, oh my God, someone else's foot has been in this roller skate.
I was just going to say, like, because you get grossed out with that and then bowling.
Bowling is the worst. I think bowling is worse
shoe,
than a roller
the shoe
skate.
Issue again and bowling.
Well, definitely a shoe issue, but putting fingers in holes that you don't know what's been in those holes, like, that's so creepy. I cannot. Like, if I was forced to go bowling today.
Uh-huh.
You better believe, like, my sanitizer sprays in my purse would come into good use. I'd be spraying those holes.
You'd be pouring that sanitizer gel down the holes.
Shoving napkins and twist, like shoving it in those holes and getting anything creepy out of there. And or just don't use the holes. Just throw the ball right down the thing. I don't know.
Take that wide squat stance and just like bend, like just hinge your hips back and roll it between your legs.
Yeah, just roll style. It. But I am excited for tomorrow. So we're going to see. We're going to see how it goes. Maybe there's a podcast that'll come out of it, but kind of excited.
We're going to be a little social.
Yeah, we're going to be social and hopefully we will be able to connect. All right, so craving connection. This is the topic for today's podcast. You know, there are so many, well, first of all, just thinking about something like a county fair, that is a very connective experience. You know, so there's all types of experiences that connect us to each other. Mm-hmm. I remember when we went to Portland Pride and even to the various Pride festivals when we were in California, that was highly connective, even if we, you know, you're not doing any one-to-one type of more obvious connections with people and having conversations with people, just all being together, enjoying an event, all being together, standing for something, coming together to stand for something. I mean, that's extremely connecting. And even things like just going to the movies, right? Like you go see a movie and then everyone's like, they start clapping when something happens to the character and they're like, yay. And you're all there rooting certain people on.
Or laughing.
Or laughing. Or like if it's a scary movie, don't open that door. You know, and everyone's all there together. And back in the day, I don't know if this still happens. I don't know. But back in the day, what I used to love going to the movies is at the end, people would clap.
If it was that kind of a movie.
Yeah, you would clap and it would just feel like, oh my God, just so fun. And that those types of events are really great for empaths, I would say.
Oh, why is that?
Just because even though there's a group of people, so, you know, as an empath, need to, you might expend a lot of energy because there's a lot of people around you.
Yes.
But it doesn't require one-to-one conversations.
Got it. Yes.
So there's less.
Because we're all just being spectators
You're
here.
All there. You don't have to, you know, which is why there's that meetup group. I don't remember the formal name for this meetup group, but it's something about LGBTQ or I think it's just specifically lesbian. Lesbian introverts. It's a lesbian introvert group, and it's going to the movies together.
Why are we not part of that group?
We are. That's how I know about it. I mean, but we've never gone.
Yeah, so we're not.
So, I mean, well, I get the notices. Anyways, so we need to connect.
So funny.
Yeah, that is super funny. And then there's the other type of connection that is, you know, where you really want to be seen for who you are.
On
a personal level,
On an individual level.
Understood. Whereas the other type of connection is more just being part of something larger.
Right.
Being part of something greater. This type of connection we're talking about now is more really being seen, you know, in your full self, in all your vulnerabilities and in all of that. And one of the things recently that made me have this longing for connection, this craving for connection, was seeing Firefly Lane. Now,
So this is
your spoiler series. Alert. Yes, a TV series on Netflix. Okay. Firefly Lane. There's season one and season two. I was late to the party. I had started season one when it came out. For whatever reason, I abandoned it. I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I thought, you know what, let me give this a try. I was seeing, you know, people are watching this. I'm like, okay, well, let's see. And Netflix kept telling me this is 99% for you and your profile. So I'm like, okay, let me see.
Okay, let's test the algorithm.
Let's test it. And Yes.
Are the robots right?
It was so good. It was so good. And for anyone who's still watching it and you're in the middle of season two, just stop listening. Stop listening. We don't want to spoil it for you. But Firefly Lane is about a best friendship between two women. And it starts off when they are teenagers and they're neighbors. And they are just both cut from very different cloths. And that's apparent from day one. But it shows how they've stuck it out together, how their bond just continues to grow through their adulthood. Mm-hmm. And it shows all the challenges they go through, as well as this really deep, vulnerable connection. Mm-hmm. And then the ending just broke me up. I was just a mess. It just really brought me to the feeling of not wanting to waste another day, wanting to make the most of my life, but definitely feeling like, did I miss out on something here?
In your life?
Yeah, like seeing this kind of a friendship, you know? And then I thought, well, when I think about the people in my life and I think about the friends that I know of for the closer people in my life.
Okay.
I actually don't personally know anyone who has that type of best friendship.
Okay.
So then I started to think, well, is this movie kind of like the hallmark for a relationship?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, so that series really got me thinking about like connection and really wanting.
Yes.
You know, to be in all my vulnerability and to be seen just so fully, like how Tully and Kate saw each other. Hmm. You know, what a special relationship.
Yeah. I think the power of those kinds of shows, whether it's a TV series or a movie or even a book or a play, like possibly even in songs, like pop songs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, I think part of the power of these stories that center a best friendship, any kind of, usually it's a platonic friendship, right? But I think part of the power is the fact that we as viewers crave that type of connection in our own lives. And it's nice to be able to
feel it through a show.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to be able to kind of like believe in or inhabit a world that has these kinds of relationships that actually do exist.
Yeah.
I think all of us have relationships that have the potential for that kind of relationship.
Yes.
Some of us are lucky enough to actually have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is romanticized.
You do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
With the music.
Oh, the music.
And,
oh, my gosh.
Like,
okay,
the...
wait. I have to say, because this is the first thing I did after the last scene of the last episode, I went to my Apple Music app and I searched for the Firefly Lane playlist. And I have it. And it's so good and so sad, and I'll never be able to hear that ABBA song again without like feeling like I'm gonna burst in tears. Mm-hmm. So good, just so good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so connection.
Yes, connection. And I appreciate you just making that comparison between the collective.
Yeah.
You know, in a movie theater or just being part of a county fair or a pride festival.
Which
something
is
that's
lovely.
A larger,
yeah, yes.
It's, I think that's absolutely necessary and needed. And that's a huge factor in our sense of exactly being part of a larger community that goes on without us.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not even miss us if we weren't there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of security and belonging that does feel comforting and reassuring, even so. And then there's the in-between, right, where you're maybe your workplace, if you're lucky,
mm-hmm.
or
or your family, or a civic group, which I hope is making a comeback these days. But I think, you know, when you and I were growing up in the 70s and 80s, there was still the sense of more pervasive belonging in that kind of just civic way, like the JCs, right? The Lions Club, the Rotary Club, so many different clubs, the Optimist Club. And
oh my God,
over the past, you know, 40, 50 years, we've seen the decline, not so many people in those anymore. That's one aspect of it. And then
continuing, I know, because you can do everything online, right?
Yes.
You don't have to leave your house to go to the Lions Club
pancake breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the spaghetti dinner at the whatever fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why tomorrow, I think it's just going to be exciting. And plus it just, you know, when you think of amusement parks, even though I'm not going on any rides, I'm just letting you know now.
Okay. I won't try to make you go on any rides. Okay. I probably won't go on any rides either.
Why though? You love rides.
But not if it's just me on the ride.
Well, you can
there's going to be other people, but it's like, I don't want to make you like stand around waiting.
What? I'm going to have a joy watching you scream your head off.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. But it's just so nice to do something that feels so explicitly like play.
Hmm.
This is just play.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you feel like a kid again. You know, getting cotton candy.
Right.
Not saying we'll do that, but, you know, just like walking around and seeing everyone enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. It just brings you back, you know, and it's so nice to be able to have that opportunity tomorrow, not just to connect, but to kind of even see how we relate to it. Even
after COVID and all of that.
Yeah. And at our age now, does it just bring us back to where it just feels like we can play and be kids? Does it feel a little like, oh my God, I'm too old for this. Let's go home. I'm tired. Does it feel like,
oh my God.
I don't know, you know, but I am also looking forward to the exhibitor booths. 'Cause that's what's going to be different about this county fair than I think others, is having vendor booths.
Oh, don't all county fairs have them?
I don't know. I don't recall.
Oh,
I mean, I guess they have food booths,
And then like,
oh no, they do. Yes, you're right. They do, like
the contests for like who like can grow the largest cabbage.
Yeah,
right. And the rhubarb pie contest.
Yeah. And then the t-shirts,
yeah,
buying t-shirts and
the dunking booth,
all kinds of things. Okay. But anyways, so that's another connective
experience. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Excited about that.
Yes, yes.
But the whole point really is just, I feel like we all crave this. We all crave this connection.
Yes. And I think, can I say, well, yes, I can. And I'm going to.
Yeah, say it.
The gift of having the COVID black swan event, shall we say.
People are saying that black swan.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing, huh?
Uh-huh.
See, I'm jumping on the wagon.
I'm jumping on
the black swan wagon. Was the kind of like pause in our culture that kind of called attention to our collective need for connection.
Yes.
Because before that, we were just kind of barreling along.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was hashtag, we're all in this together, right? And support then clap for all the essential workers and, you know, let's try and be there for each other. And that lasted for, how long did it last for? Until then it just devolved into like, you don't need to wear a mask and, you know, vaccine, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, then it was a war, right?
But for a shining moment there.
Yeah, it was very sparkly and beautiful and just
kind of similar to the right after 9/11.
Yeah.
Because there were so many moment there
deaths and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Talk about, 9/11. That's a whole other thing, but. I think
But I just wanted to, but my point is in saying that that kind of called our attention to our subconscious, up until then, our subconscious appetite and instinctual need for connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we're all forced to stay at home and mm-hmm. stay away from each other. And so we became, I think, in some ways, more
socially awkward.
Socially awkward, uh-huh. but more appreciative, hopefully,
yes,
more appreciative
definitely.
Of the connection and more mm-hmm. aware of our need for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that surprised the culture in a way because, again, over the past generation, we've seen this building emphasis on the individual, on the self. It's all about,
yes.
you know, the growth of the self-help section in the mm-hmm. bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about personal development. And it's about
I love that section,
self.
Though. I still love that section.
It's about self-improvement.
I still love that,
yeah,
though.
And
I'm sorry. I still do.
You can love it. But I think things over the past few decades mm-hmm. got lopsided, got
yeah.
Unbalanced, you know, yeah. to the weight. And that's why I also think that's why there's, it has informed the increase in anxiety and, mm-hmm. you know, depression or rumination and being so worried and self-conscious and this sense of insecurity and wanting to have a safe space and all that is because if you do focus too much on yourself
mm, mm-hmm.
and wondering how you're doing and you need to develop mm. and you better be great. You know, you better develop to your full potential. It's like, that's a lot of freaking pressure.
It
and,
is.
And the, on and the balanced side, if we were more balanced, then there would also be the message of, hey, we are all trying to create a society together where mm-hmm. you are part of a larger community. Look at all of us together, and that mm-hmm. kind of balances it out.
It does, you but know? I think too that when you are in that bubble of just working on yourself and kind of isolating yourself, I would say,
right, analyzing yourself in and
an
it's
effort,
all about you and it's
in
all,
an effort to like just you know get there faster or whatever it might be. Okay. Right? Like, let me achieve
cross,
this. Let me get this.
Yeah, to get to the achievement and find success and be the winner faster.
But oftentimes, like what you're saying, like that can lead to feeling the pressure, feeling not good enough, feeling
right.
like, oh my God, because you're never going to get there. Right? Like you might think, oh, this is there, but there keeps moving.
Yep.
There is always going to keep moving because we mm-hmm. always are going to be growing. Mm-hmm. So your there is always going to keep moving. That line, that finish line, seeming finish line. But they do say, and I believe this to be true, you know, when you find yourself just kind of getting depressed and getting oftentimes it's because you're too wrapped up in yourself.
Exactly.
And that sounds horrible. And I got to say this because this is the kind of times we're living in. I'm not talking about those with a chemical imbalance. I'm just talking about the everyday person who suffers from depression every now and then, because that's all of us.
Yes.
You know, as far as if it's clinical and there are varying degrees, yes, and I will acknowledge that. But for the everyday person, those times when we're feeling depressed, down, hyper-stressed, or starting to move into that space of just indifference.
What's wrong with me?
Right, or indifference, like, you know
apathetic.
Caring. Yeah, it's like, then just the cure for that is to do something for someone else. Get the focus off yourself, right? Can you go volunteer for something? Can you go to go foster kittens, like whatever it takes, right?
Yeah.
But because you find that even in those moments when those unplanned but universal gift moments where something happens and you're able to help someone else,
mm-hmm.
however that looks, you walk away feeling on cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how
yes.
seemingly small it was, or how big it was. Remember the time we gave someone the donuts or the cinnamon roll or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And it was very spontaneous. And this is just a small example because surely this person wasn't like in need of a cinnamon roll or anything like that. He was just he was working at this place and we were like, oh, let's give him a cinnamon roll. And it was, I think, Christmas or something. He was so surprised and so happy. And I don't know how you felt, Toast, but I felt so good about that. And it made me want to do just more random things like that. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's where that phrase, right? Random acts of kindness.
Yeah.
We get off on that. Human beings get off on that.
We do stuff. Because we really, because when you give, you're also receiving.
Yeah, I think it's our natural, as much as people might assume that, oh, human beings, we're the worst.
We're selfish.
We suck. You know, it's like, actually,
it's the culture that messes that up, I think.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think so much of.
Ding, 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 ding.
So much. Yay, we agree about something.
We agree.
Yeah, but yeah, so much of the financial and economic pressures pit us against each other and make us afraid for our own security. You know, it kind of scares us away from being as generous and as kind and as trusting as we would like to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when there is an emergency, again, the 9/11 thing or the COVID thing or any kind of even natural disasters and stuff, we, as human beings, we freaking come out and help each other. Yeah. We want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's
in our nature. It's,
I think for the most part, that's absolutely true. And it is a shame that up until now, the larger economic situation that all of us are in, that we're all just born into, it kind of puts the fear into us against that because it's like, well, are you good? You know, you got to put your oxygen and mask on first, make sure you're okay first. And if you win enough, if you're a big enough success for yourself, then imagine how much good you can do instead of like,
I think there's a way you can do both at the
exactly,
same time.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, I think to your limits, like still keeping your mask on, not poking holes in your own boat.
But I would like to be a force out in our world that is kind of shifting the culture and moving us, continuing to move us. I think we are in a place right now after having been post-COVID and all of that stuff where
are we post-COVID? Are we officially?
Post-acute COVID.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Well, there's before. well, when you think about it, like there was life before COVID and there's life after COVID and we are in the after COVID part of it. So that's the sense that I meant it in. But we're in a place now as a society where we are kind of like between worlds. You know, where are we going to go next? That's up to us. That's up to us and how we take this moment and how we behave with it. And we have, it's a really exciting time in that way, I think.
It is. And I think one of the things, I'll say that for I know the part that I need to work on is to prioritize doing the things that put me in a situation to connect with others. Mm. Because even though I crave it, I don't prioritize it.
Mm, okay.
You know?
And I think it's probably for two reasons. One is the empath aspect of you makes it feel uncomfortable and difficult in an energetic way.
And it is uncomfortable. It is. But being uncomfortable in those moments, I rarely afterwards feel like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It was so uncomfortable. That was just horrendous. Like I can't even really recall feeling like that.
That's great.
It's just the discomfort leading up to the moment of, you know, and then eventually it's like, okay, I think I'm okay here. You know, I think I'm okay here. So,
but then the
I
other
think it really is prioritizing.
The other deterrent though is can you, and not just you, Sienna, you, but...
Empaths?
No, any one of us.
Okay, yeah.
The other thought that comes through our head, I think, is, can you afford it?
Like in your time?
Well, yeah. You know, do you have time after work in order to fit in with all your responsibilities? Do you have time? Do you have the money? Do you have the energy with all the other responsibilities that you have to pay the bills? Are you going to have enough energy in order to connect with people?
Right. Nope. Nothing. None of it.
But those are examples.
Those are valid.
Those are
valid points.
Yeah, the economic realities.
But at the same time,
prevent us from connecting.
Yes,
as much as we really want to.
Yeah. And connection doesn't have to cost us, right?
No, it actually feeds us.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So with that, just stay home with your animals
and connect with them. And your plants.
Thank God for animals. Oh, my God. Thank God for animals and nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whew. All right. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
And as always, rate and review only if it's good.
You know, please review the podcast. Like, if you are enjoying this podcast, please rate it. Because one of the things we found very recently is that Tosa and I have had this podcast for a very long time. We've had different names for it, but we collected a really nice amount of beautiful reviews from listeners. And when we changed to a different platform, is it called a platform?
I honestly don't know the technical. Yeah.
Anyways,
names
when
for
we
it.
Shifted, when we shifted to Mind Body Spirit FM. Part of that transition, in that transition, we lost all the reviews. And I just, one day I looked and I felt so sad because it was just, people were just so kind, you know? And so anyways, if you have a minute, please rate and review the podcast. If you like the podcast, especially, we would love that.
And if you don't like it,
don't do anything.
We'll see you on Instagram. Our handle on Instagram is Sienna and Toast. Sienna is spelled with one N. And we hope you have a great rest of your day or night or whatever. And as always, live your love story.
Are you ready to ignite your best life and illuminate the world? I'm Stephanie James. I'm a motivational speaker, transformation coach, and psychotherapist. And what lights me up is helping people just like you create the greatest versions of themselves. On my podcast, Igniting the Spark, I will help you ignite your joy and reach new heights in your personal and professional life. Join me for some incredible conversations with authors, spiritual teachers, and other influential thought leaders to help guide you on your way. If you are ready to stop playing small, join me for Igniting the Spark on the mindbodyspirit.fm network or wherever you get your podcasts, and ignite your best life.